All right, good morning once again. Thank you so much for joining us as we come to you, and we're again broadcasting from the beautiful city of South Fulton. That's the new name of this part of College Park. And so here we are broadcasting and sharing the good news of the coming Kingdom of God. Today I want to touch on a subject which I think is necessary that we drill down and get some more information about what you and I are supposed to be doing. God has called us, He has given us His Spirit, He has equipped us really, and He has given us a mission. Now sometimes you hear the expression, the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28 tells you about it. Go ye into all the world and preach the good news. Baptize those who believe in the name of the Lord, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. I am with you always, even unto the end. And so He's telling us that. We refer to that as the Great Commission. For you and I, we have what I call mini missions. It's a small portion of that. And we all are supposed to be engaged. But there is something that I've noticed that many have overlooked, and so that is the gist of the message today. We want to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit. Now, God is coming back to earth for a church without spot or wrinkle. You know, when you were little, you look at your clothes and you try to make sure it's clean, in iron, no wrinkles. No spot, it's clean, it's washed, you make sure, not to touch it, so no soil. Spot or wrinkle, that's an expression talking about the church. And so I am saying, as we sung earlier, it's a victorious church that has overcome Satan and his team. Remember, he says they overcame him by the word of their testimony and the blood of Jesus. You remember that in the book of Revelation? They overcame him. Who they are they? The church. It's a victorious church. No, we're not going to take any crap from him. We're going to continue to push back and push forward and claim new territory. All right? We're going to continue to do that. Now, I'm saying to you, the early church, it's recorded in the book of Acts, the early church, they had some, boy, dramatic experience. A lot of things took place under their jurisdiction, during their time. Now, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, you could say yesterday or way back then, He's the same. He hasn't changed. Well, He worked with them, He will work with us. All right, just want to make sure you get that. So I'm saying the early church has some dramatic examples. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, and I want us to look at verse 15 so that we can see part of what I'm alluding to. It says, believers, verse 14 said, believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women, multitudes were added to the church. And verse 15 said, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, they laid them on beds and couches, or we used to say cots, and that even the least, the shadow of Peter passed by, might overshadow some of them. His shadow, he just walked by, and the shadow came by and they get healed. I've explained this before. This is another way of saying the glory was there. And so in the glory, remember that I tell you that's one of the seven ways to receive healing? In the glory. And therefore, he received, the people who got healed. Get them off their couches, whatever, cots and so on, and start to walk around and testify. Some years ago in 20, what was that year? Was it 2018, 2017? 2018. 2018, we were down in right, one of those, yeah. Well, anyway, we're in Orange Beach, Alabama. And I was talking to this minister, and God just healed his eyes just like that, right before me. Just like that. God just healed him just like that. That is the same, I'm talking like what happened here with Peter. And I was just telling him about the good things God has done for me. I know this is how this is like this quickly, and I didn't understand. You know, but anyway, the point is God healed his eyes. That's the glory. One of the seven ways we can receive healing. I want us to remember these now, these things now. And, you know, be cognizant of what is going on. So here it is, I'm saying now, the early church had the glory manifesting right there where people, he says, they brought people in beds and couches, and even the shadow of Peter overshadowed them. And verse 16 says, and there came out of also a multitude out of cities round about, and they bring sick folks, and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. They went and go get whoever else, and they were healed, every one. I'm looking for the day when this happens in one of our services. And I'm going to shout and say, go tell everybody, no matter what their issue is, even if they're in the hospital, drag them out and carry them here, and God is going to heal them. I'm looking forward for that. But that was part of what transpired then. And I'm saying to you, that's the same Jesus. The same Jesus that we have today. So why do we need all this understanding, ladies and gentlemen? Well, I am saying to you, if things are missing, if there is a lack, if there is not enough, compare what God intended. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 4. I want us to see something, because you and I are living at a time where God is getting ready to do some of those same things again. And it is up to us now to prepare ourselves so that we can operate in collaboration with him. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 7 says, for what nation, he's speaking about Israel, comparing them now to other nations, for what nation is there so great who has God so near unto them as the Lord our God is on in all things that we call upon him for? Whatever it is we call upon him, he hears us. What nation can really do that besides the children of Israel at the time? Well, what church can do that besides the people who are filled with the Spirit of God? Notice what I'm trying to compare now. You begin to see. There's a place where there's a lack. There's a place where there's abundance. We want to be where the abundance is. We're not going to be the one providing it. That's God's provision. But what I am saying is, there is a distinction, and God is making note of it. And he said, what nation is like that? In other words, stop and think about it. It is not regular. People can just say, well, I'll just go ahead and call up because the nations have, quote-unquote, gods. Some of them have millions of gods, and they call upon their millions of gods and no help. We only have one, and he hears us. Praise the Lord. So I want us to begin to see the distinction about how it works. Now, God has equipped his church. He hasn't left us orphans. So I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to spend a lot of time in it, if I have that much time really. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I want us to look at verse 31. It says, covet earnestly the best gifts. Yet I show you also, I show unto you a more excellent way. First clause is covet earnestly the best gifts. We should desire the gifts of the Lord, and we should know enough about them so that we recognize one can work in a certain situation and one in a different situation. Get my understand my point? they don't all do the same thing, in other words. And so one might be more important or significant in that circumstance. And so you, them, the administrator, need to know the one that is more or suited, or as it says here, best. Well, if you don't know anything about them, you won't know what is best, will you? If you haven't been thinking about the gifts of the Spirit, then you won't know anything about this, will you? If you don't have any of the gifts working in you, then you can't help, can you? And he's saying we should desire the best gift, or covet, really, the best gift. Really, another way of saying desire. The best gift. So it is imperative, ladies and gentlemen, that we know about the gifts. Now let's go to verse 1, same chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And Paul starts out in verse 1 by says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant." Think about what he just said. I want you to know about spiritual gifts. I don't want you to be ignorant. Ignorance is unacceptable. Now, we just celebrated Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, the giving of the gift, the Holy Spirit, to the church, and by default, gifts. And so you and I then, ladies and gentlemen, need to be cognizant of this, and it requires then that we do something, because Paul says, covet. Covet earnestly. You're not just going haphazardly. You're going to put out some concerted effort. Well, that may require study, continuous praying, fasting, meditation. What are the gifts that work with you, or would like to work in your ministry or work in you? You're going to have to spend some time thinking about these things. You're going to have to spend some time praying about them. Imagine you go into a town and you're hungry. You see a lot of people. And you say, "Well, where's the restaurant?" And they say, "Rest who?" I say, "Restaurant. We don't know what you're talking about. We don't have anything like that around here." "So what do you eat?" "Well, we eat food." "Where do you get it from?" "Oh, it's in the field." "Where is your field?" "Oh, it's some 10 miles away." There are no stores, no convenience store, anything like that. Nothing. They are not equipped. And sometimes around here, you would use the expression, it's a one-horse town. You know, you ever heard that expression? This is a one-horse town. There's almost nothing there. He said, "Well, I'd like to, you know, my clothes are torn. I'd like to get some new clothes." And they say, "Not around here." They're looking at you like you're from Mars. You know, "Not around here." They're nothing like that. You say, "All right, at least can I get some water?" And they say, "Yep, down by the spring." You have to go down the spring. There's no such thing as bottled water. You have to go down by the spring and get you some. And you'd say they're underdeveloped. Now, let us suppose somebody was injured and you need some medical assistance. So you say, "Where's the hospital?" And they say, "Us who?" "We don't," I say, "hospital." And they say, "We don't have nothing like that around here. The nearest one is 50 miles. "Well, what about the doctor?" "They're not in town." "No, my Tommy down the street, his boy, say he would like to be a doctor when he grew up, but he's only 7 years old. It's going to take a while for him to grow up to be a doctor to come and help you." And you know you're in trouble. I am painting a picture, ladies and gentlemen, where there is not enough development, not enough to provide for the things that are needed, especially at that moment. Now, I am saying to you, God is equipping his church, and we need people who are developed in the gifts of the Spirit. Now, the gift shouldn't be a mystery to them. They should know about the mystery. Or I should say, let's rephrase that. Uncover the mystery. They should know about the gifts. And they should also know which ones work in them and which work in whoever else. Because they're always not going to work in all the same way with everybody. And so my point is, well, we need to drill down. We need to put out some effort. We need to get on the ball. Because he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. Does he have to send a persecution in order for us to get serious? Or do we just go ahead and yield to the Spirit and, you know, start to drill down and search? But you get the idea. You see what I'm saying? So he says, concerning spiritual gifts, he don't want us to be ignorant. Verse 2. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Before you came to this understanding. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus a curse, and that no man can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So the point here is this: you're not going to be able to talk and do these things without the Spirit of God. All right? End of discussion. Continue. Verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. Verse 5 says, there are differences of administration, but it's the same Lord. Verse 6, there are differences of operation, but it's the same God which is working in all. But notice verse 7. But the manifestation or manifestations of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with. Are you with me? He is giving us gifts for us to make a profit. No, you're not going to sell it. But you're going to benefit from it. That's what he means when he says profit there. So when you have a basketball team and you send five people out to the court, you don't send five point guards out there right away. I mean, you probably have 5 point guards on the team. Very rare. But you wouldn't send five of them out there at the same time. What happened to your forward and so on? You need some other positions, don't we? Well, it's the same way in the church. We need people now in different positions. And the Spirit is going to work in and through them. But we have to be developed in this area. All right? So I want us to begin to see the picture I'm trying to paint here. So he says, there are different administration, different diversities of gifts and so on, but it's the same God, the same Lord working in all of us. And it is given for all of us to profit with. Now, to summarize that verse right there, I want us to make sure we understand. It is for us to serve one another. That is the purpose of that gift. Not for the individual, but to serve the other individuals. So when you come into town and they ask for a doctor, they say 2 blocks down the road, there's a doctor there. Already trained. Ready. So when you come to the congregation and you have somebody that is demon possessed, you have people who are ready to pray and drive that spirit away. Somebody needs healing, you're ready to pray the prayer of faith. That's, you see what I'm talking about now? We need to be ready. And so here he says now, he's giving us an example. He says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. What is this gift? Word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. So here it is now, he can give one wisdom, another word of knowledge. Now what does he mean by word of wisdom and word of knowledge? Let's break this down. In Proverbs, the 21st chapter, we have read this many times, but let's look at it one more time. Proverbs chapter 21, did I say 21? It should be 21. And verse 30. It says, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. There isn't any wisdom that you and I can develop or come up with, or come, you know, when you put together or reasoning together. There isn't any wisdom or counseling or understanding against the Lord. In other words, that can surmount what God is saying or go beyond what God has stipulated. There isn't any. He's letting us know that up front. No, because a lot of folks believe they have it together. Church people, yes, we believe we have it together. To some extent we do. But we need to be humble and recognize God still transcends us. We're just a little dust on the balance compared to Him. And so, I am saying to you now, He has wisdom that He can impart to us. Look at Acts chapter 6. The book of Acts, the 6th chapter. And in verse, let's see, pick it up in verse 10. They were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Here it is, Stephen. There are people who are coming against him. And God equipped him with wisdom, words to speak. And no matter what they come with, they couldn't more or less get the upper hand, so to speak. They couldn't resist him. They couldn't. Why? Because God gave him words of wisdom to speak. They end up killing him. Because they couldn't overcome him. If they thought they could, he would have been alive after. But they end up, we just get upset and kill him. Justify their ignorance. But they could not, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. There were stubborn men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemy words against Moses and against God. See? They start to make up lies. They make up lies. Now, who gave him that wisdom? God gave. Now, God can give any one of us the capacity to operate in, wisdom on a continual basis. A few weeks ago, I recall asking us, and I missed a few days, but for the most part, I asked the Lord, give me wisdom for the day. Touch my mind. Help me to think and to develop godly wisdom. So in my overall interaction, day in, day out, the wisdom of God will be displayed in what I do, what I say, and so on. Are you with me? So that's the wisdom of God. He can give it a gift where you're very good at it, or it does happen spontaneously. Let's look at the book of Luke, the 13th chapter. Want more examples here so you begin to see what I'm trying to share. Luke chapter 13 and verse 32 says, all right, let's pick up verse 31. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, talking to Jesus, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill you. They're telling him, Herod is going to kill him. Are they really trying to give him a heads up? They're just there trying to test him, And he said unto them, you go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Jesus has a way of using words that really throw these people off. He said, go tell that fox. Notice the expression he's using. Go tell him. You think he got it together? Go tell that fox that I'm doing cures. In other words, I'm going around healing people and so on. Go tell that fox that I cast out devils and I do cures today and tomorrow. And the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. So he's trying to let them know, hey, listen. You can argue all you want, Charlie. I'm here because God sent me here. I'm going to be a light, in other words. And God gave him words to speak that really throw them off, cause them to be stumped. Those words of wisdom. Let's read a little more out of the same chapter. You'll begin to see, oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killed the prophet and has stoned them that were sent unto you. How often would I have gathered the children together as a hen gathered her brood under her wings, and you would not. In other words, you wouldn't allow me to do it. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you shall say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. So here he's saying a lot of stuff that really throw them off. But God is allowing him to speak, and he's a light right there. Now those who later on catch on, they're going to say, wait a minute, he did say that. Light years ahead of us. But notice that now, I'm talking about wisdom. So God gave him wisdom. He gave this folks wisdom, and he'll give you wisdom if you would like it. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 23 gives us another example. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 23. He says, and he answered her not a word. So here's this Canaanite, this woman was running after him, and he didn't even answer a word. He knew what he was doing. He answered her not a word, and the disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cry after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but to the last sheep of the house of Israel. So, you know, he got it together. Some years ago, I had a bucket. We were close to what is a pipe. It was customary at that time. People would travel out with their donkeys. And sometimes they don't have any container to give the donkey water. Well, this lady asked me if I could give her some water, give water to her donkey. I didn't answer. I kept walking. I got to where the water was, and I fill it up, and then I give it to the donkey. Well, she was so shocked. She asked the lady that was with her, she said, you have any money? And she had, at that time, we call it sixpence. It was a silver coin. And she just asked and gave it. He said, a young man, he didn't say a word.
He's in Jamaica.
Yeah, this was years ago, back in 1962 or something like that. But my point, and she was just so impressed, she gave me that money. I mean, that, you know, when you have a penny back then, you were a rich person, let alone six. You know, but my point was, she did this. I didn't say a word. And she was impressed by that. Well, here it is, the disciples were saying to Jesus, hey, send her away. And he didn't answer. Didn't answer a word. Then when it was time for him to speak, he says, I'm sent with the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Did she get what she wanted? Yes, she did. You can read the rest of the chapter. But you get the idea. The point is that he's going to, you know, always have to answer people every time they ask or say something. Ask God to give you wisdom to know when to speak or when not to speak. Because sometimes you might need to speak up. 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's go see one more example of what I'm talking about. Wisdom. Because we have a very foolish generation. We have a very foolish generation out there doing a lot of unwise things. And so we need this generation to pick it up where it comes to wisdom. They need to catch on quickly and begin to see and do and act as God would have them act. 1 Peter chapter 4 And verse 11 says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. Now, this takes a lot of discipline. Sometimes we say things we shouldn't say. And we need to learn to control our tongue. We need to ask God if we should say something sometimes. Many times I go places and he show me something and I say, well, should I say anything? Remember those folks that we saw up at the dry cleaning that time? I just drove up there.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw them and I said, Lord, should I talk to them? And he said, yes. And I asked them, where are y'all from? They were from New York. They came down here. They were going to a convention. I said, where are y'all staying? They got quiet. I said, for real, where are y'all staying? And they said, well, we don't have anywhere to stay. So I told them, I'll stay right here. I'm going to talk to my wife. You can stay at our house tonight. And they did stay, by the way, 3 days. Yeah, 3 days. Just like that. Well, they were kind of shocked, and they said to me, you must have been watching us a long time. No, I just drove up there somewhere, I just drove up. But the Lord, I just asked him. My point is that you're going to have to practice by reason of use, have your senses exercised thereby so you know when it is God talking and not the devil and so on, all right? And my wife went up, my wife said, no, they can't work. Let's go there and see. When she went up there, she said, yes, they can come. And so they come down here, they stay right up in the front room. They stay. We fixed dinner for them that night. They came back late, like about 11:30, and they stayed for 3 days. I am saying we need to develop the practice of walking with the Lord, where He can pour out His Spirit of wisdom on us. You know, in the book of James, they tell you, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally, and so on. You can look that up. But you get the idea. So what I am saying is that we need to recognize that that's one of the gifts. We need more people that has words of wisdom from time to time to stir people's imagination so that they can move when they're supposed to, do what they need to do. And don't irritate them where it is you're trying to get somebody on board with something else and people come trying to irritate them and try to make fun. No, that's not the time. That's not words of wisdom. Those are sloppy words, slackness. We don't want that around. And so I am saying to you now, He's given these gifts. They're available to church. Some people are better at it than others. But it can work in all of us. Are you with me? All right, we just covered one of them. There are 9. So we're not going to finish it today, as you can see. Now, let's go a little further in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and because I'm just breaking it down as I go along, and I just touched on, at least a part of it, verse 8. To another, because he says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. That's a gift now, you know. And the point is that God needs more people in the church who can stir people to action, who can encourage people, who can inspire people, for them to move spontaneously in the right direction and have a desire to say, you know something? I've been sloppy. I'm slothful. No, I'm going to stop that. I'm going to change what I'm doing. It's time for me to clean myself up and act right. They're moved by what you say, the words of wisdom, words of encouragement. We want more people in the church to be able to operate like that. To one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Now, what does it mean by word of knowledge, anybody? Word of knowledge, what is that? Okay, supernatural revelation. That's right. So here it is now in chapter 5. Go back to Acts chapter 5. I want us to see an example of this operating. Acts chapter 5. God is moving. And of course, some people didn't get it. So Acts chapter 5, verse 1 says, a certain man named Ananias with his wife, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. So they had some material things, in this case land, and they kept back a part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, so they agree. We're going to pretend like we're like everybody else in the church. So we just hold back most of the money. We're going to keep that for ourselves. In the money, we probably can go down to the beach and whatever and live it up. But we're just going to carry us a little portion and just give it to the church and pretend like we're giving everything. That's what he was doing. All right? He didn't know about the gifts, the word of knowledge. Well, here it is on display. So the people would sell their stuff and they carried and brought certain parts of it, laid at the apostles' feet. In other words, they give it to them so they can have access to it. But verse 3 says, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land? I mean, this really is a stunner. He ain't come now pretending, you know, and I don't know if they agree they're going to stagger the entrance to the church or what, but my point is that he came, his wife, you know, she at home not knowing what's going on, he there, no, because they didn't have cell phone back then. And so he carried, and so he said, hey, wasn't it yours? While it remained, verse 4, was it not your own? And after you sold it, wasn't your own power? So why you come up with this scheme, conceive this thing in your heart that you have not lied to men, but you have lied to God? He didn't have to give none. He could say, well, I think I need the money for something else. You know, you don't have to say anything. But he want to pretend like he's one of them doing just like everybody else. That's what happened. And it cost him his life. So when Ananias heard these things, he fell down and he died. Just like that, he dropped dead. He didn't get a chance to say, well, I didn't really mean it, or I'll go get the rest, or whatever. He just dropped dead. God is serious when it comes to the gifts of his Spirit, his power. That's why when I hear people start to crack jokes, I tend to just walk away. Because they don't realize you can have fun, but a lot of people don't understand that this is a distinction. And other people don't understand it, so I just separate myself. I don't want to train my spirit to practice doing what is wrong. So he died, gave up the ghost, and great fear came upon all the people that were there who see what happened, and they said, well, the young men that were there, they rose up, bind him up in a, you know, whatever, cut or whatever, carry him out and bury him. About an hour, about 3 hours rather, afterward, his wife, now she come all dressed up, not knowing what has been done. So Peter answered unto her, tell me, whether you sold the land for so much? And she said, yeah, for so much, she admitted. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried your husband, they're coming to carry you out too, and you drop dead and they carry out and bury her. Man, people get shaken up. What kind of church is this? So people, I mean, folks, they come near them, but not too many people want to be a part of the church after all this thing happened. They got shaken up. They had the fool, and it cost them their life. What happened here? The word of knowledge was in operation. That's all Peter knew. Very, very important when we understand the gifts of the Spirit. They're very, very beneficial to the church, but we have to be cognizant of what is happening and what God operates. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. A lot of people act up and they go to churches and they pretend. I went somewhere, I said, I knew he was pretending. I didn't bother to say anything to him. when I could tell. And he come and he told me some lies up, and I'm thinking to myself, I didn't ask him anything, he just started to tell me lies for no real reason. And I'm thinking to myself, for what? What good is that? People like that. They want to pretend that they're something else, and it is not good. And I'm saying, no, when you have the church where the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, folks are going to realize, no, they can't come and pretend and act like, well, you know, I got it all together, or I'm doing this, I'm doing that. No, they're going to have to learn to be humble, because God is going to expose them. That's what happened to these two people, and they both lost their life. He says, then fell she down straightway at his feet and gave up the ghost. And the young men had come out and bury her. And great fear came upon all the church, upon many as heard these things. All right. By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, does no man join himself unto them. People realize, no, gotta think before you join the church. You can't afford to just do like everybody else. The Spirit of God is moving among those people. Now, I am saying this to say that, not to scare people, but to let us know the importance of what God is doing. So that everybody, because once you practice doing what is right, it don't matter to you. You know, little stuff like this, you just go on about it, it doesn't matter. You realize you can't afford to goof off. But God is generous and He's merciful. And you can deal with each other and help build each other up. Now, would we prefer the church where none of the gifts work, or one where the gifts work and people learn to act wisely? Obviously, you know it's going to be the latter, where they act wisely, because a lot of people in the church need assistance. We need things. Are we asking God to break His rules by violating, or I should say overriding, certain principles in order to work miracles? That's what He's doing, you know. He's overriding them. The laws of nature which He Himself made. He's overriding those so that we can receive the miraculous. That's what I was saying last week, you know. And I was saying, I mean, how many times do you have to tell you that you need to drink your water when you're supposed to? Part of my issue with the kidney stone was I wasn't drinking the water I'm supposed to. When I'm supposed to. But my point is, God was merciful and He showed me, you know, acknowledge, no, don't act like when you get it together. You know, I remember this gentleman was telling me some years ago, he said, well, you know, you can have faith and God still doesn't. No, you don't understand what you're saying. He said, if you have faith, all things is possible. So if you don't get it, it's because you don't have the faith. That's it. Stop making excuses. No, I made a mistake, so I acknowledge. I told Him, Lord, I messed up. Please give me another chance. I messed up. He gave me another chance. All right. And so, my point here is, ladies and gentlemen, those are the first two gifts. Let's go on and touch on one more. He says, all right, let's touch on words of knowledge. In fact, let's just give some more example of word of knowledge. Because we saw that working a while ago, but let's look at 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. I think we're only going to be able to cover these two today. 2 Kings chapter 6, and let's pick it up in verse 8. The king of Syria warred against Israel. He took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place, I'm going to set up my camp. Verse 9, the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware, don't pass by that place, because the king of Syria, he's going to set up his camp there. All right? The man of God came and sent him, beware, don't go there. Verse 10, the king of Israel sent unto the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once, not twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled. For this thing he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Which of you guys who work for me is actually a spy telling the king of Israel what I am doing? Okay. And one of his servants, he had a little more sense, he says, and one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that it is Israel. He tell the king of Israel the words that you speak even in your bedroom. He's telling him. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. So, all right, we're going to have to pause right here. But this king is not very wise. First of all, this man is here telling all your secret business. He's way wherever, but God is giving him word of knowledge. And so he is observing what is going on and telling it to the king of Israel. Now he, this king of Syria, is a presumptuous self. He's going to decide, no, well, you know, I'm going to take care of him. As if to say, he wouldn't be able to hear that you're doing that too. If he can tell him all the secret stuff you're doing, of course he's going to know what your plan is. But he, you know, it goes to show, when people are without God, you know, they make a lot of unwise choices. So this is what happened here. And so what happened is that he's going to end up sending his different, you know, he's going to send soldiers to go try to get the Elisha, and they're going to end up losing their life. We're going to pick that up the next time. But my point here, ladies and gentlemen, God is supernaturally revealing this information to Elisha, who then shared it with the people. Can he do it to any one of us? Yes, he can. Let's look at one more. In Mark chapter 2, the book of Mark. Because, by the way, these operate both Old and New Testament. I think a lot of people may have noticed that. Mark chapter 2 and in verse 8. Another example of words of knowledge in operation. Immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned. So these people were coming to some conclusion, and Jesus perceived. He perceived in his spirit that they reasoned within themselves. He said unto them, why reason you are these things? Why you reason these things in your heart? So he just asked them, why are you doing it? Well, this was the word of knowledge operator. And so even though they were there, they may not have spoken out loud, but the point is that Jesus discerned. And you're going to find when the spirit of the word of knowledge is operating in you from time to time, not all the time. It doesn't work in me all the time, but it works sometimes. And you'll just know. Alright? And by reason of use, you're going to be able to recognize the difference. Alright? So you probably wonder, how is this going to work out? He will show you. He's going to train you. God is a very good trainer. So I just want us to begin to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that the church needs these gifts. We haven't touched on miracles and healing and stuff like that yet. We have the gifts of healing that works in this ministry, you know, from time to time. We would like to see it more often. And every one of you that is associated with us, you're going to be able to operate in it at some point in the future. At what point, I don't know. It's just going to just come suddenly upon you. But I'm saying to you that it will. By the way, those in Jamaica, do you listen? I'm saying the gift of healing is going to operate in and through you from time to time. So keep that in mind. And so I'm saying now, you know, God is going to work these things out. We need to be mindful of how he operates, but we'll talk more about this in the future. But or I should say, really, we're going to continue next week because it is high time now that the church get hold of a lot of these things and start to pray the power down on us so that people can get the relief that they need. And of course, Jesus will get the glory. So I just thought I'd go ahead and, ladies and gentlemen, and just, you know, share these things about the gift of the Spirit because I'd like to see us operating more and more in it. By the way, we're going to operate in such magnitude that we're going to go out and have meetings where people just come line up and we just pray with them and they get healed. That is going to happen. So I just thought I'd go ahead and just share that with you. Thank you so much for listening.